Okay, thank you everyone for joining us for our first Alumni Thursday Night VOD. Mirtasham will do this every week with a rotation of the Rebbeim from the Yeshiva. And thank you, Rabbi Lubin, for giving us the first VOD. And I assume Rabbi Lubin's okay with it being interactive and the Chevra joining in, asking questions, etc. Thank you.
Okay. What I was thinking of doing is to speak, you know, first, and then let the guys ask questions at the end. I think it's easier. But okay, they want to scream out something in the middle. That's also good. All right. I wanted to say start on a topic, which is there's a shmuz I heard from Rashiva, which is in the Chiddush Alev, but it's not in the Chiddush Alev the way I heard it, which is the way I remember hearing it. Because I remember the Rashiva saying something different than the way the person who wrote it up wrote it up. So why the person who write it up differently? Because what I remember hearing is not necessarily 100% mukhruch. So the person who wrote it did not want to write something that, if it's not 100% mukhruch. But my recollection is that this is where the Rashiva said it. The Rashiva said it with a tremendous, tremendous chiddush, that even when I heard it then, it shook me up. And I think it's a tremendous chiddush, and it's tremendously valuable. It's one of the most valuable lessons. But okay, but it's you're only hear it here, because it's not written anywhere. And unless I imagined it, but I'm pretty sure that's how the Rashiva said it. There's basically a shmuz in this last week's parsha that Esav offered Yaakov to go with him. And Yaakov turns him down, and he basically says that if I'll go with you, I'll have to push not to go as fast as I could humanly go. As far as I can practically go, because I shouldn't hold you up. Obviously, I won't go faster than my family can handle, but I would go as fast as it can handle. But I might, I might make a mistake and miscalculate and push my family to go faster than they really can. And what will happen is that if I push them to go faster than they can, there's a danger that the children can die or the animals can die. Says he really meant the children will die. But he just mentioned the animals because he didn't want to say the children will die. But he says, and therefore it's better you should go yourself and I won't feel the pressure of having to rush. And then I'll be safe with my family. So the pasuk says, that's the conversation. That's all this. Porno, the Rabbah, they learned the psukim here. And Yaakov says, the kids are weak, but he means laptop because it's all means, you know, the kids also. So there's a tziporno that says that it's going on the everyone, alai. So the tziporno says he means ki olai mutal dvar ayiladim rachim. It's my responsibility to worry about the children. So I would be neglecting my responsibility if I went with you, because then I would be pushing the kids to go faster than they could go, and then they would die, and it would be an avla because I'm not keeping my achrayas. So Rashiva asked a pretty obvious question. He says, if Yaakov is telling Esav that if you're going to go with me, then there's a danger that the kids might die because we're going to have to go at speed that you're going to keep up with you. What are they saying? Because it's a lie. The Sipurna says, the word a lie means it's my machachrayas. You don't want your kids to die because no one wants their kids to die. So Shiva said, the way it's written in the Chiddush Alev is that Yaakov Avinu, the feeling of Achrayas was even stronger than his love for his children. Okay, that's because he was an Ish Emes. Okay. But the way I remember the Shmuz was a little different. I mean, it's the same word, but it was a little much more Hesber. Rashiva said like this, love is an emotion. I love my children. I love my wife. I love my job. I love my religion. It's an emotion. His emotions are totally in moods. A guy wakes up one day. No, don't feel anything. I don't want to go to yeshiva. I don't want to learn. I don't want to teach. I can't stand my students. Maybe I don't love my wife. I don't love my kids. No, he wakes up. He says, oh, Yaakov didn't say love because about loving his children. It's about loving his children. Because Yaakov knows that there are days that he wakes up in the morning and he doesn't feel love to his children. But Achrayas, he feels every day. Achrayas is, or at least it's possible that there'll be days that wake up. I don't think Moshe would be always very careful with his lashon. But it's possible that he would wake up one day and not feel a love to his kids. Okay, my kids will die. Okay, they die. Who are these strangers? But that Achrayas, oh, that already is constant, because Achrayas is intellectual, not emotional. So therefore, he mentioned Achrayas because that's much stronger. To me, when I heard this shmuz, it was a mind-boggling shmuz. The way Yeshiva said it, you're talking about Yaakov, who is the greatest shalem in the world. You're talking about his wives who are perfect, right? The imais. You're talking about the children who are perfect, shiftei ka. It's not like the kids aren't behaving. We're keeping them up at night, whatever. You're talking about the shiftei ka. These are the ultimate perfection children, which is the goal. We had to wait three dairies. Avram couldn't have shiftei ka. He had to have a psul with Yishmael. And Yitzhak had to have a psul with Esav. And it was only Yaakov after three generations that we got to the point that every child was pure. These are the children, the building blocks of Klal Yisrael. Yaakov Zaycha to the shiftei ka. And she was going to say, there'll be one day that maybe Yaakov felt that he would wake up and say, okay, I'm getting out of here. Like a guy, we do have find that a person one day walks out the door and never comes back to his family. So we think that those are Michigan. You hear a story. I remember there was a guy in Israel. He was searching for his grandfather because he says his grandfather walked on his grandmother and never came back again. So they hired a private detective. He was his parents' grandparents were in Israel. Hired a private detective to find the grandfather. But we hear these stories saying it's crazy. Right? A guy just one day walks out of the house and he never returns. But the Yeshiva said it's not so crazy. It's not so crazy. A person, it's a normal thing. It's a normal thing for even a tzaddik like Yaakov Avinu to lose his emotion. And even for the most basic things, like his kids, he could lose his emotion. And to me, I thought that was a tremendous chiddush. But the application, I'm not giving a shmooze on children here. This is not a parenting class. But the application is, if you can lose your feeling, if Yaakov Avinu could wake up one day and he just say, it's ridiculous. Why am I wasting my life for these brats? So then surely he could have that hargasha toward his religion. Person can wake up one day and say, why am I killing myself for this religion? Especially if you're a rabbi, why am I killing myself for my talmidim? They are a bunch of brats, some of them. And even if you're not a rabbi, but why am I killing myself for this religion? I don't like learning anymore. I used to like learning. I don't know. I lost it. The emotion went away. Just like Yeshiva said, you can lose the emotion that you love your kids. You can lose your emotion. I used to love it. I know. Once I was a big masmid, I loved to learn. I don't know. Went away. I lost it. No more. It's gone. Bye-bye. So that's the Maisa, we have a tzir of that. There's a Gemara, a famous Gemara in Brachas. It's only famous because I know it. But the Gemara in Chav Tes and Brachas says there's a Mishnah in Avos, Atamin be'atzmecha ad yom ha'isecha, that don't trust in yourself. So it brings a Maisa. There was a person called Yoichanan Kohen Gadol. Shashimish Bikuna Gadara Shmonim Shana. That's a pretty lot. He was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years. And then Ubisoif Nasa Stuki. And at the end of 80 years, I don't know how old he was when he started to be the Kohen Gadol. But at the end of 80 years, after being the Kohen Gadol, he went off and he became a Stuki. Not just a little bit. Stuki means a real apikiris. Now, who is this Yoichanan Kohen Gadol? Anyone know? Let's see if someone can talk here. Or can we, you unmute everyone for a second? Who is Yoichanan Kohen Gadol? Anyone know? Bimei Matis Yahu Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonei Yubanov. Right? Yoichanan Kohen Gadol is Matis Yahu's father. He's in now in Nisim. That's what the Mefarshim say. Yoichanan Kohen Gadol is the Kohen Gadol in the Aron Nisim, which means that besides being the Kohen Gadol for 80 years, his son was the Gadol Adar. His grandchildren were the Gadol Adar. They were the Maestri Nefesh for Torah. I assume they got that way because he was Mechanech them, right? So imagine a person has a son. His son, I assume when he went off the derech, his son was already, you know, older. His son was probably already the Gadol Adar. Matas Yahu was probably, when he was being, after Yoichanan went off the derech after 80 years, I'm sure Matas Yahu was a pretty chasher person. So Matas Yahu was the Tzadik Adar, and his children were the Tzadik Adar, all the Chashmonaim, and the grandfather, Yoichanan Kohen Gadol, all of a sudden one day he wakes up, I'm going to become a Stuki, right? Pleiadic. No, it's not Pleiadic. Yoichanan Kohen Gadol, he's his father of Matas Yahu, and he becomes a Stuki. So what that means, it's probably the same concept. It's the same concept. A person can be on a tremendous, have a tremendously strong emotion, and feeling, obviously, Yoichanan Kohen Gadol became the Kohen Gadol because he was a tremendous tzaddik, and he had tremendous emotions. And then one day, he lost it somehow. And maybe the Mekubalim say some shot, but the Parshat shot in the Gemara is, the Mekubalim say because he ate some non-kosher food by accident. But that's the Orach Chaim that recalls in Arizal. But the Parshat shot is, he just lost it. Right, we have in this week's parsha, in the Pashup shot is that Yosef every day, Eishes Potiphar tells him to mizaneh. He says no, and then according to these Rav Shmuel, one day he decided yes. Right, the Hibayom Yavo Baisel Asus Malachto. He came the Chatchila to be mizaneh. Like what happened? Like every day you've been saying no. When all of a sudden you wake up in the morning, okay, I'll be mizaneh. It's not even like she asked him. She says that he went to the house for the purpose of Asos Malachto. Like, what happened all of a sudden? He had such a tremendous, he was fighting. And then one day he gives in. So it seems to be the same concept that a person, there people are, I don't know what you want to call it, moody, are affected by their emotions. You know, in the secular world, they talk about there's such a thing as the midlife crisis. I don't know whether you people are up to midlife crisis yet, but midlife crisis when you get to around 40, there's such a thing where people, I mean, I know someone, midlife crisis is a typical, what they did. He divorced his wife and he became totally non-religious. And and that was it. You know, just boom, completely changed his life around. So there is such a thing that a person can, for whatever strange reason, a person can be a tzaddik, can be Yoichanan Kohen Gadol, and then for some strange reason, you lose it. You lose the feeling, you lose your drive, you lose your oomph. So that's the Musar, but I wanted to talk about this problem, which I don't really have a solution, but sometimes the awareness of the problem is half the solution. So the problem is, how does one deal that the awareness of this problem, that there's such a thing that sometimes we have tremendous energy and drive, especially when we're in yeshiva, We have tremendous drive to grow in Ruchnius and to learn and to do mitzvahs. And then especially when we leave yeshiva and we're in a situation which doesn't always lend it, all of a sudden we discover that our emotions and feelings disappeared. So what does one do? So that's the question. I don't have such a good answer, but I'll tell you a few answers that I had, and then we'll hear what you people have to say. So one answer is that the Rosh Yeshiva's answer, that what Rosh Yeshiva said with Yaakov, Yaakov didn't use his emotional love for his kids, but instead he evoked his intellectual knowledge that this is my achrayas, which means that even if you stop, the example there which Rosh Yeshiva's giving, if a person stops loving his wife and children, but he's not going to walk out because you have a job, you have an achrayas. I become a Rebbe, all of a sudden I lose my desire to teach. I don't want to teach. I don't like these kids. They're a bunch of brats. Why should I teach them? Because you signed the contract. You committed yourself. The parents are counting on you. There's a feeling of intellectual MS. There's an MS. I'm not doing it because I have an emotional drive. I'm doing it because my brain tells me it's the right thing to do. So this is one answer. One answer is that we shouldn't be shocked when sometimes being warned of the problem is half the solution. We can lose the emotional drive, but we retain the intellectual commitment. Person intellectually knows, I made this commitment. There's a reason why I made this commitment. It's because intellectually it was the right decision. And even if I don't feel it anymore, it's still intellectually the right decision. And therefore I have to stick to it, even if I'm not in the mood. Even if I'd rather now do something else. I'm not in the mood of learning anymore. But I know intellectually it's right. Okay, it used to be I enjoy learning. So now I don't enjoy learning. So what? I gotta do it anyway, because my intellect tells me this is the right thing to do. So that is the first answer. The first answer is not to be in shock if we lose our emotions, because that's normal. At some stage in life, sometimes it's temporary, sometimes it's more than temporary, we lose our drives, but we can continue functioning based on the intellect. Okay, that's answer number one. Answer number two, Rashiva used to tell a story that Rav David was once, when he was a boy, I don't know how young, but I don't think it was so young, but it was, Rav David told him, Amaisa, that he was traveling in Russia. I don't know when this was. And it was probably during sometime when the revolutionary years, when there was a lot of different groups fighting in Russia, and some group stopped the train that he was on. And all these groups, different groups, the Reds and the Whites, whatever, they were all anti-Semites. And they basically took off all the Jews and they're going to shooting them all. Maybe they were the Whites and they thought all the Jews were communists. I don't know, whatever it is. So whichever group captured this train and basically took off all the Jews and started shooting them, going one by one, killing them all. So it was like pretty guaranteed I'll be derech atav, but Rav David was about to be shot in the very near future. So Rav David told Rav Shiva that he felt this tremendous simcha, because listen, everyone has to die sometime. And most people don't get the opportunity to die al Kiddush Hashem. And he felt a certain simcha that Baruch Hashem, he's dying al Kiddush Hashem rather than dying a regular death. So the Shiva, that's how it said, he told Rav David, you're causing me chalisha sadas, because I have no shaykhus to that. I thought, I know there's such a thing in this continent of adairis, but I, if I was there, I'd be terrified, not just terrified, I'd be terribly depressed. I'd say, they're going to kill me. I wouldn't be happy. I'm going to die on Kiddush Hashem. No shaykhus. So Rav David told him, you're wrong. He said, if you would have been there, you would also feel that way. Because it's just, when you're not in this situation, you need sometimes something to bring out the feeling. Meaning what Rav David was saying is there are many feelings that we have. It's not that we lost the feeling. The feelings are dormant, or in this case, Rav Shiva felt he never even got it. It's not that you don't have the feeling. The feeling is buried. It's buried in your subconscious being, but it's there. And you just need something to bring it out. If you have the right thing that motivates, that brings it out, then the feeling will come. Those who know it's Rabbi Yisrael, the famous Rabbi Yisrael Salanter in the pre-AIDS that he brings, that the Sri Deyesh says that this is where Rabbi Yisrael talked about this subconscious mind. He says that Freud stole the subconscious from Rabbi Yisrael, because this piece Rabbi Yisrael printed way before Freud read anything about the subconscious mind. But Rabbi Yisrael writes the mashal of a person who had a son and an apprentice. And the son he hates, the son's a bum, a drunkard, whatever, a good for nothing kid. And every day the father tells his son how much he hates him. He wishes he was never born. Worst day of my life is that I had you, whatever. And then he has this apprentice who's just such a tzaddik that he loves. And he's, you know, so proud of his apprentice. It's his whole future. He's teaching this person everything he knows. And then he says, one night the father wakes up and the house is on fire. In the middle of the night, he wakes up, the house on fire, and he has to run to save someone. Who does he run to? Does he run to save his son or the apprentice? So Rabbi Yisrael said that when a person wakes up in the middle of the night and it's a fire, he's not thinking rationally. Rationally, it could be his son is already a vegetable. No point to save him. But emotionally, he's functioning on emotional adrenaline. The house is on fire. At that point, he's going to run to save his son. Because no matter how much he says every day, I hate you, but in the deep down, he loves his son more than anything else. And deep down, the emotion is there. It just, he needed the fire to bring out the love. Till he didn't even know he loved his son anymore. But when the house is on fire, he discovers he loves him. So what the point is that even when we think we lost in a feeling, we should hear we didn't lose it. The guy had a tremendous drive to learn when he was in yeshiva. You didn't lose it when you leave yeshiva. It just became dormant, if it became dormant. If, you know, maybe it did become dormant. But if you find you don't have that drive, it's not shot that you lost it. Or in the case of I lost my love for my wife, I lost my love for my kids, I lost my love for Yiddishkeit, I lost my love for mitzvahs. That snapshot, it's there. It's just sleeping. It just got buried. You have to have a way of retrieving it. It's like an older person has trouble speaking, they can't think of the right word. It's somehow in their brain. I know it's there. I know the information there, but I have a problem in processing and retrieving information. So you have to somehow bring it out. How do we bring out feelings? So really that's in all the drush svarim. I know we're not supposed to quote drush, but in all the drush svarim, that's where they talk about Hanukkah. Hanukkah is lighting the candles that were out, right? That's the candles, fire always is in drush is emotions. The guy's on fire, right? That's even in English, it's the same expression. He's on fire. So the candles and the fire in the Beis Hamikdash was extinguished, means the emotions were extinguished. And the mitzvah of Hanukkah is to relight the candles. It's definitely in a lot of the drush svarim that the mitzvah of Hanukkah is to get back the emotions, to stop the mitzvahs hanoshim and amada. Many, 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 many svarim. I assume that they're reliable svarim. So this concept that we have to try and get back our emotions, we have to try and get the feelings. If we had certain feelings when we were in yeshiva, we have to do something to bring them back. How do we do that? Chitzonius Maris Hapnimius is definitely a way. Actually doing it. Once you do it, the doing it brings back the feelings. Sometimes being misbeinah and thinking about what you've had, I had recently, I don't know if it's exactly the same point, but you know, recently the Rav Chodesh in Eretz Yisrael was just nifter, the Mashkiach of the Mir. We used to take the last two times we took the Beis Medrash to Eretz Yisrael, we stayed next to the Mir. We used to go speak to him a great deal. We used to go whenever he spoke, he gave twice. Two Vadim a week in his house, we used to go, whatever. And he said, I used to go. Some of the other guys used to go also a little bit. And we got to know, you got to know him. And, you know, he was just nifter. But there are, when you think about it, there are so few Bali Musar in the world left. And Musar is just not in anymore in the world, regretfully. It's just not in. I don't want to say there's no Bali Musar in the world. But the Musar movement as a Musar movement is not really doing well. That's an understatement. So, you know, the fact that, you know, to think about the fact that the guys, anyone who was in the yeshiva was exposed to a you know, a sheet, a shkafa that comes from, you know, great people. It's a tremendous, whether Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, as the author of Salbaka, et cetera, et cetera. Rabbi David Jartzai was just recently. So the you know, you have it's a tremendous Messiah. And it's something that not that many people were zeichet to. So that also can inspire us. When a person thinks, you know, you focus on what I have, what I learned, what I was kind of, you know, that can give you inspiration too. It's just like you stop to think about, you know, all the, you want to reawaken your love for your children. You think about all the wonderful things that your children have. That brings back the feelings. So you think about all the wonderful things that you were zeichet to get in yeshiva, and that really it's not so prevalent in the world. The world is missing it in many places. So that can also bring back feelings. So there, by the way, just to summarize, and I'll leave open the floor, is what I was trying to say, that there's a problem, which is a normal problem, very, very normal. According to Shimon Shmuz, even Yaakov Avinu could lose his emotional love to his children. So shorty, we can lose our emotional love for Torah and Yiddishkeit. That's a normal thing. It's one of the things I deal with in the yeshiva. I don't say every day, but that's one of the most common problems in yeshiva. That people come over and they say they lost their drive. And I'm sure if it's common in yeshiva, it's 100 times more common outside yeshiva. So the solution, it's two solutions. One is we have to function without the drive. We have to say, we have to be a big boy and say, okay, I don't have the drive, but I know this is right. This is what I'm supposed to do. And I'll do it anyway, with or without the drive, because I know it's right. That's one, that's the answer that Shiva gave in the Shmuz, by Yaakov Avinu, that he functioned based on MS, Titan MS Yaakov, based on MS, even with that was, forget about the drive. And the second answer is, that we have to believe that we really have the drive and we just have to wake it up. And we can do things to wake it up. And the Gufa actually acting on the drive and acting as if we have the drive is Gufa one of the ways that wakes up the drive. So therefore we can get the drive back and that'll make it, of course, much easier to continue. Okay, I'm basically finished. All right, does anyone have
any? Yeah, I have a, would Rebbe, like I heard recently about the Hakaris of Tov. Like I don't know about verbalizing it every day or acknowledging it mentally every day, but also like in terms of reward, like I heard, I don't know where I heard it, but Hashem's looking for people that appreciate what's given to them. So a way of like internalizing it or verbalizing it daily, does that help appreciate what we, the benefits that we have.
We say modem in Shmona Esrei every day, three times a day. The only
well, it's hard to concentrate
when we say it.
But yeah, we don't have kavana.
The most appropriate time is to try and have kavana when you say modem. That's a, but the I was saying it more like to appreciate what a mitzvah is. To appreciate, I wasn't talking as much as Hakar Zatov Hashem. That's a different topic. A good topic, but I was talking about that we lose an appreciation for a mitzvah. I they remind me of a story. I know I'm rambling, but there's a sefer, Alios Elio. It's an early sefer. It's about the Gra. It was printed right a little bit after the Gra was nifter, so it was written in the 1700s, I think. So it tells a maisa that there was a chassid from Telz. I think it was called the chassid from Telz. I don't remember. That his wife had some connection to the Gra, and he had no money to marry off his daughter. So his wife, you know, this is how all the stories go. The wife nudges the husband, go to the Gra and ask him for a bracha so we can marry off our daughter. He doesn't want to go. I don't want to battle the Gra. Finally, the wife nudges enough. So, okay, he goes. Okay. So he goes to the Gra. He goes to travels from Telz to Vilna. He comes to the Gra. And then a little while later, you know, whenever they're traveling back and forth, he comes home and he says, hurry, we need to make a Suda. Oh, you know, everyone's all excited. Wow, that must have been a good, you know, good trip at the Gra. He's making a Suda. Suda's Hoda. They put down, they make his wife makes a meal. They wash her motzi. They eat this amazing Suda. And then they get to the gate. We have to bench. They bench. He says, you know, he says, it's all right. So Bimah, the wife, I'm going to start. The wife says, but what did the Gra say? He says, about the Shidduch. He says, Shidduch? He says, I came to the Gra, and I walked in where the Gra was benching. And I heard that the Gra, when he got to Ayah Chesreinu, all the people there, Gra's family, answered Amen. They tell the Gra, oh, you're supposed to answer Amen there. I never answered Amen at that bracha. There's a new mitzvah that I never did in my life. I just discovered. I'm so excited. I got to do this mitzvah. The Shidduch, I should have have to wait. I didn't get a chance. I didn't ask the Shidduch about the Shidduch. I just want to get this new mitzvah. Right? So there's a certain excitement about mitzvahs that perhaps we have to get back, that excitement. A mitzvah is like an amazing thing. It's a goal. Okay, anyway, that's what I was trying to talk about. At the beginning, I wasn't so much about our Karas HaTov, that's also true. But I was talking about our own personal drive. You know, we love learning, we love doing mitzvahs, we love ruchnias, you know, and that we have to recapture that emotion. Relight the candles, right?
Why is achrayis different than the emotions? Like, if you don't have emotion, then goofy will walk on the achrayis also, no?
No, achrayis is intellectual. Achrayis is intellectual thing. I put up a sign that the store is open from 8 to 5. Now I wake up in the morning, I don't feel so well. I'd rather stay in bed. I'll lose a few dollars. Okay, I'm a multimillionaire. What do I care if I lose a few dollars? And so a few customers will come and I'll lose. I'll lose 100 hours. I'd rather, or someone calls me up and says, hey, we're going to Disneyland today. You want to join us? You know, that sounds so much more fun than going to work today. So I'll lose a little money. But there are customers coming to my store because they trust me to open the store. And they're schlepping there because they know I'm going to be there. So I can't go to Disneyland. I can't stay in bed. I got to get up to help them. That's an intellectual drive. It's achrayis. It's not emotion. It's not that I want to do it. It's that I have to do it. It's that it's intellect. Intellect tells me this is the right thing to do. The intellect tells me I gotta support my wife and kids, whether I want to or not is irrelevant.
You know, would you follow your intellect? Or any emotional?
I have to support them. They're counting on me.
It sounds like
I'm missing.
It sounds like the intellectual decision engenders some type of emotion.
Okay, it could be, but it starts with the intellect. Rashiva was saying that emotions are fluky. And emotions, even the strongest emotion, love for your children, a person can have this feeling that, yeah, I lost it. I don't love them anymore. They can drink. You know, I wouldn't bother me in the least if they dropped dead. And a guy could feel that. Now, is it maybe later on? But it's possible. It's possible on one day you can have such a hargasha. You know, I'm not saying it's a daily, a normal thing, but it's possible. You get into a certain mood and and a Rebbe can definitely get into a mood that says, why am I killing myself for this job? What for? You know, for these, it can definitely get such a mood. But achrayis says it doesn't make a difference. This is what I have to do. I have to open my store. I have to go to work. I have to support my family. I have to teach my children. I have to teach my students. I have to do mitzvahs.
A person can't make a
mistake. And if I don't stay a frum Jew on a higher level, then I'm going to mess up my children. So it's also achrayis. My children have to see me learning. That's part of my achrayis.
But they call
achrayis of chinuch.
You know? And, and, a,
they call it a feeling of a chryas. I mean,
that's an intellectual thing. It's my intellect tells me it's the right thing to do. I gotta do it. It's coming. Rashi was saying it stems from a mid of emes. It's not necessarily coming from an emotional. You don't have to have emotions. It's the emes is I have children. Right? The children need a father who is a ben Torah. The children need a role model. The children, if the children don't see their father learning, they're not going to learn. If the children don't, the children need food. I have to go to work to give them food. So I have to take my achrayas. Says I might not, I could theoretically lose my love for them, but I have to do it because I know it's my achrayas. That's what he said, that even Yaakov Avinu felt a more drive to care about his children for achrayas and for love. That's what Rashi was saying. Because achrayas
is Rabbi saying that. Rabbi saying that achrayas is intellectual, not emotional. There's no element of like an emotional.
Too, but it doesn't have to be emotional. Even if you lose your emotion, you wake up in the wrong side of the bed. You're in a weird, crazy mood. And obviously, we're not saying on a daily basis a person feels that he doesn't love his children. That's a fluke, shep, a fluke, right? But a guy wakes up with this crazy, crazy mood. So he can wake up with a crazy mood that I don't feel the emotion of a Achrayas either. But always have the intellectual thing. This is the right thing to do. I know what's right. You got to do what's right. You got to be a man. A man does what's right.
Yeah, they call it a sense of, I was wrong. They don't call it a feeling of a Achrayas. They call it a sense of a Achrayas. So like a sensitivity to it.
Okay, that's what Rashiva is saying, that the one answer to this problem is that even if we lose the intellect, many Gedolim, you look at this far, and it's one of the big misconceptions. People think that Gedolim only learn because they enjoy learning. I think I just saw recently what a stipler said, got very angry with someone came to the stipler and says, I don't enjoy learning. I don't remember where this story was, but stipler says, and you think, I enjoy learning all the time. There are some, I think the sniper said, there are times that I have to like shame myself to the Gemara. I don't remember exactly the lashon, but something like that. That it's like, it's torture for me to sit here. There's some kind of lashon. But I do it because I know I have to do it. That's what I got to do. This is my mitzvah. This is my chiv. This is what I got to do. I got to do it for Christ, or I got to do it for myself, for his scholar, or whatever. So even if it's, they don't enjoy it, you got to do it.
I mean, it is true though, right? That whether like how much a person feels like, in other words, if the stipler hated learning all the time, he probably couldn't be the stipler, and it wouldn't be healthy for him to try to be the stipler. Like maybe he should go get a job and learn a little bit on the side. Like,
I don't necessarily agree with you. I don't know, Yaakov David, who are you? I don't know. I can't see you. Okay.
Yaakov David Jackson.
Okay. Oh, I know you. Okay, I remember you. Okay, but I don't see your picture. Anyway, I don't agree with you. The stipler probably had a such a drive, they're such an intellectual person that he could do it even without emotion. There are guys in yeshiva, for to be honest, who do not enjoy learning, but do a great job at it. And you don't always have to have the emotion, but I was.
Don't they say that that's one of the emotions that time to leave yeshiva? Like if you're not feeling productive, you're not feeling like this is
feeling productive. That's something else. But if you just you're not enjoying it, it's not necessarily a reason to leave yeshiva, because you don't have to enjoy. There are people to go to work, right? An average person. I don't know what you do. I'm sorry, I lost track on your life. But many people go, I'm sure there are some people here that go to work, and I would bet to that, venture to bet that there are some people that don't enjoy their job. I don't know, don't everyone raise their hand. But I assume some people don't enjoy their job. And yet they go every single day. And it's not just because otherwise they won't have any money. They could have money in the bank, but they feel, and they feel people are counting on them. Their boss is counting on them. Their wife, their kids, whatever it is. If people function, that they know is something is the right thing to do, you do it. So a person can learn Torah, even if you don't enjoy it. because my brain tells me it's the right thing to do. Obviously, if a person can't do that, then maybe he should leave yeshiva. Okay, I'm not saying there aren't times that I should leave yeshiva. But it's not a gzeiras hakasa that if you lose the emotion, you leave yeshiva.
But isn't it true that
the ability to do it, you should leave yeshiva? And many people do lose the ability to do it because many people were not such a great generation. And regretfully, we don't always follow our intellect. You know, that's a problem.
Isn't it true that you judge your ability to a large extent by your feelings in doing it? Because like you could always push yourself and burn, right? Like what the whole idea of pushing yourself too hard and burning out, right? Like you could always on any one day, anyone could sit and just learn and learn and learn and learn and learn and not go to sleep and just learn. And anyone could be the stipler for one day, right? But like you
don't. No, not true. I don't think I could be the stipler for one day. I'm sorry.
Anyone could do a lot more than they're presently doing for one day and say, well, I hate it, but I'm gonna push and push and push and push and push, and then eventually you're gonna go crazy. Like, I mean, isn't that true that your feelings while you're doing it are a sign of what's healthy for you?
To some extent, and to some extent not. You know, everything has a share. To some extent, obviously, you're right. The person has to be happy. And, you know, and if you're going to be terribly miserable, then you shouldn't do it. But a lot of people can get happiness from knowing that they're doing what they believe is right. And happiness that I'm pushing myself to do, you know, and there are people that do that. I don't think you can make an absolute rule. So you have to know, this Musarvah is not about burnout. There's sometimes people have to worry about burnout. That's valid. But sometimes you don't have to worry about burnout. You know, there are many, many people. You know, I just read, I had a nice nice that found the safer. And Moshe Lerfel, are you there? You're there. I see your picture, your name. I don't know if you're there or not. But anyway, there was a nice, and in the Young Israel, I walked into amazing nace. I walked into the Young Israel last year for mincha, for minyan. I don't walk in there that often.
But Lubin, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay.
So someone put out svarim for Hefker, and there were two svarim that I wanted very much. They're out of print, and they were the two svarim. One of them was by a Rav Homan or someone, by Rav Abrahami. I used to learn with him, Bechavrusa. And this is a sefer that he wrote that was completely out of print. And his family didn't even know that he wrote the sefer. I wrote the family that I found the sefer of his father, of their father. They didn't even know that he wrote it. You know, they didn't know. So, and then the second sefer was this sefer. Whatever, I don't know if you can see. It's called Musar Haskel by someone by the name of Rabbi Elchanan Yosef Hartzman, was apparently a big tzaddik. So he tells Amaisa that he was in Shanghai. So he says that after the war, he went to the Panovich, to the Rav Kalmanovitz. Rav Kalmanovitz said that when the war started, he thought it was hopeless to save the Mir Yeshiva. He said the whole yeshiva had $6,000 in the bank. To save the Mir Yeshiva, he said it ended up costing them $200,000. He says, and then $6,000 in the middle of the war, how are they going to raise $200,000? That wasn't like today, $200,000. He says it was hopeless, but he felt motivated. He got to save the Mir Yeshiva, and he done did it. And sometimes when you're motivated, and that was like one day, he killed himself for 5 years. So I don't know, there is such a thing that people, I don't know if you say that you're always going to burn out. I don't know, I don't think that's a truism either.
Motivation is an emotion too, isn't it?
What?
I think motivation is an emotion too, right? I mean, and even like not everybody is meant to be that person who does it. I assume not. I mean, because I assume you had lots of good Jews who were doing other things. No, or
I'm just saying I'm not, I don't want to argue. I'm not saying that we can't make an absolute rule a person has to know himself, what he can do and what he can't do. But many people, what I was just trying to say is that it's a normal thing when your person leaves yeshiva that we lose our emotional drive. Even in yeshiva, people lose their emotional drive. And that we have to be able to function without it or work on bringing it back. How much to function without it, how much to bring it back, you got to use your own seichel. We're talking here to adults, you know, hopefully you got your own seichel. Obviously, you can't push yourself beyond that's humanly healthy because there is this famous word called burnout. But sometimes people could push themselves much more than they are ready to admit. And it's an excuse for being a little bit lazy. So you gotta know. And I can't answer that in public. Obviously, everybody has to know themselves. So it's hard to answer. But of course, if you can't do it, then you shouldn't do it. If you're gonna get, person's gonna get, I'm not gonna even try and push myself to be like this diaper for one day. Not because I'll burn out, because I can't do it. It's not possible. I don't have this concentration and focus. And, just like I push myself to daven a Shmona Esrei with content and I can't do the whole thing. I'm going to learn for an hour concentrating. Okay, obviously a person has to know their limitations. Okay, let me.
One of the things that I found helpful is also focusing on how I want to feel. Wanting to want, and the more when I focus on that, and don't give up hope that you could one day feel again how you want to feel.
All right, very good. That's a good suggestion.
I don't know when the time's up, so I'm
probably. Well, the time's up whenever Moshe Lerfield tells me I have to go.
Oh, okay.
Moshe, are we learning tonight?
I'm learning as soon as you hang up.
Okay.
But I don't want to be much real.
Okay, so let me hang. I have to go soon. So let me, we'll hear what you have to say, and then I'll let you. Yes.
I remember Remy saying something in yeshiva on this topic. I just wanted to know if it applies outside of yeshiva. But I remember Remy saying that sometimes you just have to push through it and eventually you'll get to the other side. Is that something that you can only really do in yeshiva when you're learning every day?
But you have to know yourself. Obviously, sometimes, yeah, it does. That was a motion from Rav David, which used to quote that when you're riding a bicycle, if you stop pedaling, then you'll never get anywhere. Then the bicycle will fall. But if you keep even going up a hill, if you keep on pedaling, eventually you'll get to the top. And then, that was Rav David's motion. Okay, I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave you in charge. It's your video.
Okay, thank you. Thank you everyone for joining. Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay. It says on the email that you sent that you connect with your chaverim. So maybe guys want to schmooze with each other. I don't know. They want to connect with their chaverim. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you,
everyone.
Thank you, Rabbi.